Today's message is Unshakable Faith by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Acts the 20th chapter, Acts 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and verse 24. Paul says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want to lift out those beginning words of the verse. None of these things move me. And based upon those words, I want to start teaching a series tonight entitled Unshakable Faith. Everybody say unshakable faith. Okay, we'll come back to it and talk about it some more. But in context of this, Paul's saying he's going to go to Jerusalem. People say, don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. This can happen, that can happen. And Paul said, well, the Holy Ghost already told me that wherever I go, stuff can happen. Wherever I go, people are not going to like me. Wherever I go, there are afflictions, there are persecutions. It's a possibility I'm going to be afflicted. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be persecuted. And I'm going to be tried. I may be in bonds. I may be put in prison. He said, but despite all the things that I know can happen, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. And so based upon that, I want to start tonight. And as we go forward to this over the next several weeks, I may use different topics or focus in on different topics for each lesson. But we're operating on this general lesson topic called unshakable faith. Unshakable faith. God wants us to have unshakable faith. Unshakable faith is faith that's not easily drawn away, not easily moved. Let me take that word and let me take the word easily out of there and just say unshakable faith is faith that's not drawn away. Unshakable faith is faith that is not moved. Unshakable faith is faith that is thoroughly convinced and fully persuaded. Thoroughly convinced and fully persuaded. And before we get to the, I guess, more specific faith about specific things that you may be believing God for, understand the most elementary thing what I'm talking about is faith in who God is and what he can do. Faith in who God is and what he can do. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I believe verse 6. Put that up. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It's one of the most basic and fundamental aspects of our faith. Look up at the screen and read it with me. Come on. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he said, so even when you come to God to start a relationship with God, keep that up for a moment. To start a relationship with God, there's some basic things, that some fundamental things that you got to believe and watch this and continue believing throughout your relationship with him. And that is, number one, that he is, that he exists. That he perpetually is, not that he was, not that he will be, that he is right now. God is. And then secondly, that he's a what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is, and God is a rewarder. What is a rewarder? Somebody that gives you something. Somebody that can do something for you. My God. He said, that's the most basic thing you got to get about God. He is, and he can do something for you. I don't care what you're going through. He is, and he can do something for you. He is, and he can do something about whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, wherever you've been, wherever you're trying to go. He is, and he's a rewarder. And you got to become rock solid in that. Now, there's several things the Lord really dealt with me about this series probably months ago. And there's several things that I experienced recently in talking to people. And what one of the most pivotal things that happened is that on last Friday, I shared this with our men at Man to Man on Friday night. I was at a gas station and I looked at a gentleman there. I pulled up my car to get gas, and he had a car that was like Pastor Marsh's Range Rover, and I know how much gas, how much it costs, and fill it up and all that, how much gas it burns. And I, you know, the gas, you know, gas like around $1.80, $1.85. And I said, man, I said, you better fill that up all you can. You know, and I said, if you get down five, come back, fill it up, because we don't know how long it's going. You know, and I just started doing some small talk with him. And he says to me, Pastor Bailey, man, good to see you. I never, you know, a lot of people know me who I don't know. And so we just started chatting. And so after we just doing a little chatting about gas, I said, well, where do you know me from? He said, well, years ago, I used to be in radio. He said, and you used to come down, this years ago, and you used to bring your cassette tape down there for your radio program. Y'all know that I was some young people. He's saying, what's a cassette? He said, you brought your cassette tape down there. He said, and then the other thing, he said, I brought it down there. If I brought it, y'all know it was a long time ago. Now I got people do all that stuff. And that's when we started the ministry. I was on AM radio. I used to do my own radio, you know, edit, do all that myself, either at home or down at the church. We didn't really have our own place then. But anyway, and so he said, I remember that. He said, then I was working a job at night, and I used to listen to you every night around midnight. I used to be working at night. And he said, you know, and I was pastoring for a while. I said, oh, really? I said, what are you pastoring? I said, he said, you used to be a pastor. So, I said, you pastoring now? He said, nah. I said, okay, well, I said, well, what church are you affiliated with now? He said, well, I'm not really affiliated with the church right now. So I figure he's, you know, in between churches, looking for a new church. Then I said, well, what church are you fellowshipping at? What does that mean? What church you attend? He said to me, put his head down, he said, I don't really attend a church anymore. And I'm thinking, pastor to non-church attender. And I looked at him, I said, man, what happened? He said, well, I was pastoring this Baptist church, you know, and things happened and they got rid of me. And then I said, oh, I said, the church, I said, you got hurt. He said, yeah, yeah. I said, the church didn't hurt you. And he looked at me. I said, church didn't hurt you. I said, people hurt you. I said, church didn't hurt you. People hurt you. He said, yeah. I said, last I know, Jesus don't have an alternative for the church. Do y'all know that he don't have proof? Jesus don't have an alternative for pastors. I'm just done with pastors. Were you done with what Jesus said then? But he said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart who teach you and give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Then I went on to say to him, I said, man, and then I made a little, he was getting real solemn in there at the stand after getting gay. And I said, man, I had a doctor one time that almost killed me. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, man, that doctor almost killed me. I said, know what I did? I got me a good doctor now. About to watches over me and helps me and help keep me alive. I said, you get the point? He said, yeah. I said, you can't get rid of the church. I said, just go get one that ain't killing you. Because y'all know, some of y'all don't know this. Some church can be hazardous to your spiritual health. That's the truth. You go someplace, you get food poisoning. You can't eat it. Look at your neighbor. Say, you can't eat everywhere. Don't eat everywhere. Okay. And so I realized that this something had happened to the degree that he let people affect his faith. He let a denomination, the politics of a church, and there's a lot of particularly people in those kind of church where they get fired and get the boot and all that kind of stuff. But I don't care what happens with people, your faith that he is and he's a rewarder got to be unshakable. Church would be a wonderful place if it wasn't for these people. Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's right. I know that's right. Yeah. Be a wonderful place. As a matter of fact, the world would be a great place if it wasn't for people. You can't get around people. You have to learn to deal with them. You need the fruit of the Spirit to deal with them, especially Ninevites. Amen. Amen. You need the fruit of the Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to build yourself up. But you can't stop dealing with people. Jesus, the word says, and with sinners, he said, otherwise you must needs be taken out of the world. So you got to learn to cope with things and learn to cope with people without letting it affect your faith. I ain't planning on doing nothing. I have vowed to y'all. Some of y'all heard me. I have vowed to you that as your pastor, I will never do anything to embarrass you. Now, I may wear something you may not like every now and then, but pastor, that shirt kind of embarrassing me. Okay. But really, I take that seriously. I've made that vow to you. I've made that vow to my family. I've made that. And so, you know, with all that is within me, I'm planning on living for the Lord and living holy and not putting myself in situations that I'm going to test that too much. Amen. Because like I tell the men all the time, at the end of the day, I'm still a man. Amen. And in my flesh dwelleth no good things. I know your flesh full of all kind of good stuff, but I'm like Paul. In my flesh dwells no good thing, and I can't do this in my flesh. I got to depend on the Spirit of God and not give my flesh an opportunity to decide. You know, I something that I've been saying lately, the Bible tells us, he said, flee you for lust. Flee you for lust. Now, you can either do things. You can either flee you for lust or you can get old enough to you for lust flee you. But either way, you got to make decisions about how you're going to live. Amen. And so stuff is going to happen. Your faith got to become. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's look at several scriptures here. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 21 through 23. Paul says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. See, here's the thing about sin, y'all. Sin gives you an evil conscience. Now, watch this. Here's the real deal. God loves you despite sin. But sin makes you an enemy of God in your mind. Because God's grace is bigger than your sin. Did you hear what I said? Say, God's grace is still bigger than your sin. But sin makes you. So what the devil does when you mess up, particularly I'm talking to the church, as believe. If you mess up, the devil said, there ain't no sense you even going back to church. You don't even get off your knees. You don't even need to be trying to pray. Okay. But that's why the Bible said when we really receive grace and the gift of righteousness, it cleanses us. His blood cleanses us from an evil conscience. Okay. That we feel now we know I have the right through grace to come boldly before the throne of grace. That I maintain grace and help in my time of need. He said, so when you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked work, yet now hath he reconciled, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death. Through Jesus dying on the cross for us, he and suffering for us, he reconciled us, brought us back on speaking terms unto God. Look at this, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Man. Say this with me. Say, I am holy. I'm unblameable. And unreprovable in his sight. That means because of God's grace, I can now see myself the way God sees me. God sees me as holy. God sees me as unblameable. Now, Satan is accused of the brethren. He always want to point out what you did and your past and all that. But God sees me as unblameable because God doesn't see me through my sin. He sees me through the blood. And like my son, Pastor Chandler, said when he preached in Bible a few weeks ago, through the grace of God, God does not simply see me as if I'd never sinned. God sees me as if I always done right. Man. Not just that, that's what grace does. Not just that I never sinned, is that not just as if I've never sinned. He sees me as if I've always done right, as if I've always been good. Man, that's some good stuff right there. Because y'all, you know, you know, sometimes you think you're over something until you see somebody, right? I thought, man, I had to talk to somebody the other day. It was something on my mind. I just talked to him. I said, it's been years. Let me talk. I got to get this thing off my chest. Because it ain't no sense every time I see you getting starting to feel some kind of way, getting in a knot. So I said what I had to say. It's been several years, been on my mind. And I said, I appreciate this conversation. Burdens down. Since I laid my, I feel better. So much better. Okay. But God don't go through that when he see you. Ah, that's so good. God don't look at you and say, I ain't going to talk about it. It doesn't even come up. Because he only sees us through his blood. That's how powerful the grace of God is. Are y'all hearing me here? So now watch this. He said, and that's how I need to see myself, as holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Unreprovable means acceptable or unrejectable in his sight. Now watch this. But in order to stay there, verse 3, he said, but in order to have that type of mindset, if ye continue in what? In the faith, grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's what the gospel is all about. That's the good news of the gospel. That my sins can be washed away and God no longer sees me through the eyes of sin. He only sees me as righteous. But I can't waver from that. I have to become grounded. I got to continue in the faith. I got to become grounded and settled. Watch it. And don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel, the good news, which I've heard and which Paul says, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And Paul said, whereof I am made a minister to preach this. Now, the New Living Translation of this verse 23 says, but you must continue to believe this truth. You must what? Continue to believe this truth. I must what? Continue to believe. See, in order to become unshakable in my faith, I got to continue to believe in this truth. Okay? One of the things, I'm jumping way ahead of myself, because one of the things I'm talking about, and one of the subtopics of this series is going to be get it settled. And there's three things I think I added. One, I said you always got to get settled. You got to get settled that God loves you. Amen. You got to get settled that God is good. You got to get settled that God has planned for your life. And then I'm still meditating. You got to get it settled that God's, I'll never leave you. He's with me. In the fire, he's with me. In bad times, he's with me. When I'm depressed, he's with me. Those certain things, you just got to get it settled. But watch it. And settle means I continue to believe that. No matter what things look like, I still believe God is good. No matter what happens, I still believe that God loves me. I've messed up 1,000 times. And I still believe God loves me. Nothing is working out according to the way I thought it was going to work out. I'm not at the place I thought I would be. I don't have what I thought I would have. But I still continue to believe God got a plan for my life. And he knows the way I take it. He got plans for me. And he going to do me good at my latter end. And you may be like me in the natural. You're orphan. Your mother's dead. Your father's dead. In my case, sister's dead. Okay. This one left you. That one left you. You've been through a divorce. Lost a child. Lost a job. Look like I've lost everything. And I still continue to believe. His word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. See, that's unshakable faith. The fundamental that God is and he's a rewarder, that ain't going to change. I don't care what the heaven I go through. Look at your neighbor and say, he said heaven. I don't care what the heaven I go through. That don't change. I'm settled in that. And watch this. And because I'm settled in that, I always got to praise. I'm in a worse situation, but no, I'm praising God because he loves me. I'm praising God because he got a plan for my life. I'm still praising God because he is good. I'm still praising God because he's still with me. Come on, that stuff is settled. You always got to praise. No, Don't have any money in my pocket, but I still got a praise. Hallelujah. Lost a job, lost my family. This one left me, that one left, but I still got a praise. The economy's bad. The politicians are bad. The lines at Walmart bad. Pastor Marcy came home yesterday and told me, she said, honey, she said, I was at that Walmart down there. And all those people in there. They got two lines. Express line. Who worked for Walmart? Stand up. You take it tonight on behalf of Walmart. Stand up. Somebody here worked for Walmart. I see somebody trying to take their tag off right now. She said, I had a bag, y'all call buggy, I'm going to use South Carolina, a buggy full. Buggy full of stuff. And Marcy said, she looked at him and said, y'all crazy up in here. I'm going to leave this right here. Y'all put it back. Bye. Bad stuff happened. Traffic bad. Bad drivers. Bad traffic. Bad bosses, bad supervisors, bad money, but God is still good. Do y'all see why these fundamentals make you have unshakable faith? See, that's why the Bible says stuff like this. If we have hope only in this world, we have all been most miserable. In other words, if your faith is only limited to what happens in the natural, you're a miserable person because stuff going to happen, honey. So I have to continue. I have to continue. I'm sorry, I didn't finish reading. New Living Translation of Colossians 1:23. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Come on. How many of y'all, when you got saved, you was excited? They had this group together. They had this group together talk. They were talking maybe of quote unquote evangelical talk about Donald Trump. And some of them said they had a problem with him because they're not sure if he ever asked Jesus for forgiveness of his sins. And they asked Donald Trump if he ever had asked for forgiveness. He said, I can't really say I've asked for forgiveness, but, you know, whatever I do is wrong, I just try to make it right. He said, but I guess, you know, just Donald Trump, y'all. He said, but I guess, you know, when you go to church and you drink a little wine, you take that little cracker, I guess that does something. No, I can't make this stuff up. He said, I guess that's some kind of way of asking for forgiveness. And these evangelicals, they said, well, I'm not sure if he received Jesus. They said, and he said, he doesn't tell anybody about Jesus. He said, watch it. He said, because when you really get saved, you want to let everybody know what God's done for you. And the Bible, and what he's saying here, he's saying that you can't drift away from the assurance that good news gave you. Watch this. Because most of us, when you come to a church like this, but, you know, most of us, when we got saved, we didn't get saved because, well, man, if I get saved, God's going to give me a Mercedes. Right? You get saved, man, if I get saved, man, get me a good woman. Give me a man. No, most of us said we got saved because we found out we don't have to go to hell. He'll redeem our life from destruction. He'll save us. Come on now. It was for the spiritual benefit. And watch it. And so now you don't get some tangible benefit, some material thing, and you lose the reason you ever got saved to begin with. You didn't get saved for a car. You didn't get saved so you can stay in your house and not get a foreclosure. That's not why you got saved. And so these things happen, and it takes you away from the assurance that you got when you first received Jesus. He said, this good news has been preached all over the world. Paul said, I've been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Don't drift away from the fundamentals of your faith. God is, and he's a rewarder. 1 Peter 5 and 10. He says, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. I want y'all to see this one. If you got a paper Bible, highlight it. But the God of all grace has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After ye have suffered a while. Make you what? Perfect. Established or established. Strengthened and settle you.
Are you fully persuaded that God's promises will manifest in your life? God wants your faith to be unshakable, regardless of the challenges you may be facing. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you to take your faith to another level in this powerful series. Order today for your love gift of $30 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Unshakable Faith. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.